So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
PPR, so 20th century. A great example in one player case and across the board in week one as part of this Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recording this 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on September the 10th with week one. In the books, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, of course, presented by Hooters, with additional support from Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. When you have a legal need, find out what a full-service law firm can do for you at 813-902-3576 for a free consult, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Which is where I got an email, I responded, and asked for where he was from to acknowledge him. Very important. It's more important than, it's not that I don't care what team you're a fan of, but for purposes of the podcast, like Vladimir in Bulgaria, how cool is it to know we have Vladimir in Bulgaria in, as he called them, the League of Bulgarians. Some in Bulgaria, some in the United States. I need to know where you're from when you email me to see our reach, to see where everybody is from. I don't know if the gentleman who first listened to me on VEASAN, a shared listener with Gil Alexander now, whom I was on his show Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific, talking about the division races, what I picked this year. How strongly I feel about some, my concern about Houston after week one, trying not to overreact. That was on VEASAN on a numbers game with Gil Alexander. Kelly was out sick. He's feeling better. Heard him already this morning before recording this podcast, but was on VEASAN. So there was a gentleman who was listening on VEASAN, didn't tell me where he was from, had a listener watching or following the Lions-Packers game from a fantasy standpoint, and for probably other reasons, thinking the same thing I was. Now, normally, I wait a couple weeks, maybe three, to give you that one great example of why PPR flaws fantasy football. And the email called the shot. Perhaps he was victimized by it in his league. That's fine. Part of the fun of fantasy football is being bitter about when things don't go your way. If you watch the Lions' performance against the Packers, you know how bad the Lions looked. You know how much I've been calling this shot on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and the Todd Wright Toddcast about how questionable the decision was by Dan Campbell on his new offensive play caller. Granted, you're replacing Ben Johnson. Not an easy thing to do. Something Lions fans and probably Dan Campbell were dreading, knowing they were going to lose him to some other team. Thought they'd lose him in 2024. Ben decided to stay, turned down Carolina, which was smart. Actually, didn't he turn down Carolina in 2023? Didn't Tepper feel he had a deal with Carolina? Something was going on there. It was Washington then, later, that I think thought they may have had a deal with Ben Johnson. But he stuck around. Then he takes the Bear job. Lions need a new OC. Dan Campbell's choice, bad. The last time that guy called offensive plays was 8 years ago for Todd Bowles as head coach of the Jets And even Todd Bowles, who doesn't know offense, knew he sucked and fired him. Yeah, 8 years ago or more. Jared Goff did not look comfortable with what was going on offensively. Sure, some of that might be what Green Bay is doing. Some of that is, as we've acknowledged, losing Ragnow at center. You also lost an interior lineman to free agency. I believe he went to Tennessee. Gibbs is still there. Monty is still there. Goff has been very defensive. Why do people think I'm just a product of the Ben Johnson system? Because that's what it's looked like to us. Amon-Ra is still there. Jameson Williams is still there. Sam Laporta is still there. Laporta had a good fantasy game. Jared Goff checked down to Jahmyr Gibbs and threw him 10 balls. Majority on checkdowns, so Goff wouldn't get hit or killed. It contributed to Goff's high completion percentage. Gibbs caught 10 balls for 31 yards. No touchdowns. This wasn't short yardage by design. Let's move people out of the way. You know, a nicely designed Liam Cohen screen pass who called them at a higher rate than anybody in 2024, hence all the receiving, all the receptions for Bucky Irving in limited play before the Bucks used Irving more than Rashad White last year. 10 catches, 31. Gibbs had 9 rushes for 19 yards. So Jahmyr Gibbs accounted for 50 yards and no touchdowns. But because of outdated 20th century football that says we have to give an extra point to any guy catching a ball to balance out running backs who get the ball 25, 30 times or more and make fantasy football fair. Gibbs got 15 fantasy points. 15 fantasy points for 50 yards, no touchdowns in a game the Lions weren't in the fourth. Why? Because those of you playing full point PPR don't get it. You're not making the necessary change. And if you don't want to play standard as I do, where the yardage by fractions determines the points and the touchdowns are touchdowns, except common is a passing touchdown is 4, not 6, then I'm reaching across the aisle. I did it the entire pre-flop, pre-fantasy draft podcast and analyzing players and saying, using half-point PPR rankings. That's the hedge. That's the compromise. I'm reaching across the aisle to those of you who stubbornly, who don't do the homework, who don't think about things, and continue to say, well, no, the full-point PPR, that's just what we play. That's what everybody plays. Yeah. Was Jahmyr Gibbs worth 15 fantasy points in that Lions loss to Green Bay? No. So if you play the half-point PPR hedge, suddenly 5 of those points go away. He still gets 10, and you know what? He's not worth 10, but it's a hell of a lot better than saying that was a 15-point fantasy performance. Full-point PPR was created in fantasy football back when there were running backs like Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas and others who got the ball 25, 30 times a game and set up the pass. Some people still to this day argue to me, Troy Aikman's overrated. He didn't throw the ball that much. Please. That's what PPR was created for. You do realize the NFL has changed in the 30 plus years since Emmitt and Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas dominated touches. The game has evolved. It is a passing game now. Heck, Even the Chargers, end of last year, week one, they're throwing it. They're letting Justin Herbert throw more. It'll balance out over time with Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, especially when they feel better about Hampton and maybe get a healthy Najee Harris doing the things they want him to do. Also getting adjusted to Alt at left tackle and a new guy at right tackle. Teams throw more than they run. Why do you continue to, if you are a commissioner of a league or you vote for full point PPR, the equation doesn't need to be balanced out anymore. There's no weighted system necessary. If anything, running backs need more of a bump. I think I even suggested this in a previous last year somewhere in a podcast. Perhaps now running backs, instead of fractionally, 1 point every 10 yards, so then it'd be a half point every 5 yards or 0.1 point every 1 yard they gain. Perhaps running backs should get, how do we balance this? I don't think they should get 1 point for every 5 yards, but maybe more than 1 point for every 10, somewhere there between 5 and 10 yards. Look, I'm fine with it the way it is. But Jahmyr Gibbs was not worth a 15-point fantasy game. Because you want what you watch on the field to impact his team's fortunes. All Jahmyr Gibbs did was prevent Jared Goff from getting hit or sacked with the majority of those 10 catches. He was not worth 15 fantasy points. 10 receptions, 31 yards, no touchdowns, no impact on the Lions' bad opening performance against the Green Bay Packers. Taking it a step further beyond the gentleman who emailed me that saw the same thing I did. In week one, there were 13 players, pass catchers, 11 of them wide receivers, one of them a running back, one of them a tight end, who cleared 83 yards receiving on a minimum of 4 catches to a ceiling of 10. In inverse order, Metcalf, 83, Garrett Wilson, 95, Jacoby Myers, 97, Hollywood, 99, Bijan, 100, Bowers, 103, Boutte, 103, Pearsall, 108 on 4, Lamb, 110. Coleman, 112, 7 of his 8 in the fourth quarter. JSN, 124. He's good. Nacua, 130. Left the game twice because of injury concerns. Flowers, 143. So 13 pass catchers, 11 receivers, 1 running back, 1 tight end. Also, of those 13, Garrett Wilson, touchdown. Robinson, touchdown. Coleman, touchdown. Flowers, touchdown. So add those extra points in there. 13 pass catchers clear 83 yards or more. You know how many running backs week one of the NFL season across all 32 teams cleared 83 yards rushing or more? 3. Breece Hall, 107, no touchdowns. Travis Etienne, 143, no touchdowns. I didn't watch that game. I didn't put myself through it. Especially after the delay. Was it after the delay? Just get the ball to ETN. Just end this game. Let's get the W and move on with our lives. Then Derrick Henry, 169, 2 touchdowns. So if we were starting fantasy football this year, I'll end with this. Let's say fantasy football was a new idea we were playing this year. And we looked at week one numbers, and every week we sort of evaluate how the scoring should be. If you looked at it and said, wow, we have 13 guys had 83 yards or more receiving at the top end of the board. 13. Not quite half the number of teams in the NFL, but close. Not 16, but 13. But we only have 3 running backs, and that includes quarterback numbers. Jackson had 70 yards rushing. So even the quarterback numbers didn't get to 83. Ja'Cory Cross get Merritt 82 and a touchdown on 10 carries. We're starting fantasy football. We're trying to level out the value of the running game against the value of the receiving game. And we see 13 players have 83 yards or more receiving. And we see three players have 83 yards or more rushing. Where are we going to say, obviously, pass catchers are more valuable because teams are throwing more than they're running. We need to assign a component to running backs or reward players who run the ball more to even out the receiving game. That's what you would be doing if fantasy football was invented now. It would be just the reverse. It would be XPPR, extra points per rush. That's what it would be. Get with it. I know you're not going to change it in season, but for those of you commissioners and players who vote, who have ignored this from me and just in general, I don't get it. I don't understand why. Make the change next year. And as I've said before, if your commissioner won't do it because he ignores the facts, because you want your league to produce the most worthy champion based on how players impact their teams, a player simply catching a ball doesn't impact his team's fortunes. It's where did he catch the ball? How far down the field and did he score? And those components are already built in a league now that passes more than it runs. So yeah, if your commissioner or your league next year still refuses to acknowledge it is a pass-based league, making PPR obsolete, get a new commissioner or just get in a new league that actually has modern thinking. Thank you for listening to my testimony. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters and Brandon Legal Group.